Well, we're in the middle of a series. It's actually part two of a series that we're doing. And I started with this. Let me review just a little bit. Mark 8:29. When Jesus said this, "Who do you say that I am?" I think it's a question all of us have to answer. Who do you say that I am? Jesus is asking, who do you say that I am? Now, what does your mom think I am, or your dad, or your friends, or whatever? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is? And that's the title of our series. Jesus is. What is he to you? What is he from the scriptures? What is he in reality? But what is he also to you? And what is he today to you? I know a while he was this great, wonderful, awesome, saved my life. What is he today? Has it gotten boring? Has it gotten mundane? Have you allowed it to slip away? Who do you say that I am? We talked about that Jesus is the Word and Jesus is the Creator last week. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the light. Jesus is full of grace and he's full of truth. And we talked about truth. The aspect about truth, it's only truth when it's truth. Perception is perception. That's all it is. It's not the truth. It's not your truth. There is only truth. You can't have your truth. You can have your perception, but not your truth. And we talked about nine evidences that the Bible, that I gave to show that the Bible is the Word of God, that it is truth. And I told people if they wanted that, I would send it out and send it out to some. Well, I want to continue on now in that vein. By the way, if you want to get any of our messages that we do here at Living Faith Fellowship, you can go to livingfaithfellowship.com and you can get in our media library. Or what I would encourage you to do, and if you're a college student or new here with us today, I'd encourage you to take your phone out right now and search in your app, Living Faith Pullman, and get our app. Our app will do amazing things for you. Our app will give you all of our messages. It'll go back and you can get all of the messages we've done. You can give online. You can do it that way on the app. But you can also read the Bible with our app. We have a Bible reading schedule. We want you to read the Word of God because the Word of God is very, very important to us here. It's not what I'm saying to you. I want you guys reading the Word of God. Not just, well, I get it on Sunday. No, no, you need to get it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and twice on Sunday. You get a double dose, right? I need you to be good Bereans to go, excuse me, was that exactly correct what you said? That is fine. I don't mind that stuff. I don't mind being corrected. I've been corrected by five-year-olds before. Actually, they give you some of the greatest correction. Some of that correction is we need more candy at the back. So I'm trying to do those things. But if you wouldn't mind standing this morning as we continue on in that vein, Jesus is. As we read our scripture this morning, I think you'll all know this one. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And verse 17, which is important. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You may be seated. Thank you. I love the Word of God. I love what it says because it's challenging. I love it because when it doesn't match up to what you think, somebody's going to change. And it's not going to be the unchangeable God. It's going to be us, right? Our perceptions are supposed to move toward truth and they become truth as we read the truth. My first one for Jesus is this morning is Jesus is salvation. I have to say I appreciated the words this morning, the prophetic words, because to the best of my knowledge, neither one of those two people knew what I was going to talk about, and they gave a couple of points away in this. And if you look at the word, or if you look at prophetic word, what it's meant to do is to encourage. It lets me know, whoa, dude, I think I'm on target. I think we're all gelling together here. I have a confirmation about what I'm about to preach. And that feels really good. And so I'm thankful and thank you for ministering. John 3:16 and 17, it's Jesus talking to Nicodemus, the ultimate Nick at night. He's doing this at night, right? He's talking to Nicodemus at night. He's talking about how to be saved. And it's just a new concept. Nicodemus doesn't quite get it. How to be born again. You go back into your mother's womb and come. No, 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 no. I'm not talking about going back into the womb and being born again a second time. I'm talking about this idea that you're born once naturally, but you're born again from above. You're born again spiritually. There's this spiritual birth that God wants to do inside of us. This scripture verse, as I said, is probably one of the most memorized in Bible, in churches, and probably the one that's seen the most. You always see it in the end zone when the guy's kicking a field goal, right? John 3:16, it's right there. You know, he probably needs, hey, please make it or please miss it. It would depend on what side you're on. But they give John 3:16. I think it's because we're trying to let everybody know about this awesome thing about the Lord. Nicodemus, though, during this time, Nicodemus, he's a Jew. He's a Pharisee. He's in the Jewish religion. He's trying to understand Jesus, what Jesus is bringing and all of his teaching and what he's talking about. And he's not quite getting it. And he's trying to explain to him about this Messiah that's coming. And the word Messiah means anointed one. The idea of the Messiah that was coming, and they all knew the Messiah was coming, this anointed one, and because they anoint the kings, the rulers, they would anoint them with oil. And so it got to be that this Messiah was going to be this anointed one. As a matter of fact, when Jesus asked Peter, who do you say that I am? And what does he say to them? Thou art the Christ. You see, the word Christ is the Greek for anointed one. The anointed one. When you say Jesus Christ, Christ isn't his last name, right? It's Jesus the Christ. Jesus the anointed one. Amen. Jesus the Messiah that's to come. It's come. So we get this idea that this is going on, and they were looking for a deliverer, especially at this time. Because they were under Roman rule, under Roman oppression, and they were thinking a deliverer would come to deliver them from the oppression of Rome. But Jesus is trying to explain to them, I'm not coming to deliver you from the oppression of Rome. I'm coming to deliver you from the oppression of the sin that's in your life. Something more powerful than an external problem with Rome. It's the internal problem of sin in our life. Angel Martinez, the late evangelist, had memorized the entire New Testament. And memorized the entire New Testament and referred to John 3:16 as salvation's formula and observed that it contained four main ingredients. And I want to go through those this morning. Number one, they talked about salvation's cause. For God so loved the world. The motivation factor of God is his love. Why salvation? Why did God want to save us? Other religions are trying to get you to do things in order to gain God's approval, that God's approval. Those religions have this and this and all of these do's and don'ts so that you can gain the approval of whoever's the head or whatever God you are serving. Only in Christianity we have a God who says, I love you. I make the first move. I'm going to move toward you. I care about you. His love is what moved him. His love is what brought about salvation. And not only does he love us, he so loves us. He so loves us. He so loved the world. He's really, 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 really in love with you guys. But you don't understand. No, he's still really, he's into you, right? He cares about you. All the little things, the big things, everything. He cares about you. He loves you. You're on his mind 24/7. Well, he's got a lot of people that get in mind. He's really smart too. He's the ultimate multitasker, better than any woman on the face of this earth. Multitask. Can hear your prayer and everybody else's prayer. Knows what's going on in your day and everybody else's day. He's 24/7 captivated by you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Secondly, salvation's cost. That he gave his only begotten son. It cost something to bring this salvation. It wasn't just free. Freedom always costs, right? There are no free lunch. Somebody's always paying for something. Thank God for leaders that are out there willing to pay the price to move things forward. Because without them, nothing moves forward. And without people helping and getting on, nothing moves forward. Somebody is always paying a price for everything else. But here, Jesus is going to pay a price. Our salvation would cost us something. It wouldn't just be free. It's free for us. But it was costly to Christ. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Number three, salvation's condition. He says that whosoever believes in Him, whosoever is anybody that believes or puts faith and trust in Jesus, I put it in Him and what He did for me. If we're willing to do that, then He's willing to save us. I love it that salvation is not spelled D-O, but D-O-N-E. It's a finished work. Do you know what you have to do? Nothing. How do you get the greatest gift that could ever be given to you? Here's what you need to do. Nothing. Oh no, can I mow some lawns? Can I do some stuff? Can I help you out around your house? What can I do? Nothing. That's amazing. God is the ultimate get her done person. He got her done. And He didn't need any of your works to do it. All He needs is for you to believe in Him. All He needs for you is to trust in Him. All He needs for you is to turn your head toward Him and say, yes, Lord. But it doesn't require anything of you. Tell me another mainline religion anywhere that requires nothing of you to get saved. Nothing. As a matter of fact, the person, the head of it, God does it for you. That blows my mind. As a matter of fact, that was the number one thing that got me saved, that got me radically saved, was to realize, wait a second. I don't have to do, He's up there on the cross, dying, bleeding, and all of this is happening, and all I have to do is accept that He dies in my place. Holy cow, nobody has been that good to me. To take my place, my punishment. My brothers would get me into trouble. They would blame me for stuff that they did. And my mom believed them. I still have a problem with what they did. Nobody's getting you into trouble. You have a God in heaven who's getting you out. Who's getting you out. Who's getting you out. And you do nada, zilch. Incredible. I'm blown away by that. I'm blown away by that. I love that when the Philippian jailer, you know, the whole thing is going crazy. Paul is worshiping and the jail cell gets opened up and prisoners are walking around. He's just worried. Oh my gosh, the jailer comes back and he wants to kill himself. And Paul says, hey, we're all here. Don't worry about it. And right then the jailer decides, I want to get saved. What must I do to be saved? Greatest question in Scripture. Acts 16:30. What must I do to be saved? Answer, next verse in 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Period. You see that period there? Can you see the period there? It looks like kind of like a little square there. That's a period, right? It's a period. That's period. That's all you need right there. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Period. Yeah, I believe on Him and I got to change my life for about 6 or 7 years. Then He evaluates me again and we see how good I'm doing. And then if I'm doing good enough, He's going to say, dude, you got it? No, period, right there. That's incredible to me. To be saved, it's that period. Now, if you want to grow from there, God has a great plan for you to grow. He wants you to pick up your cross and follow Him. If you really love Him back, you'll pick up your cross and follow Him. But He says, what do we do to be saved? What works do you have to do? Zero, nothing, nada. To grow from there, there's some all sorts of things the Lord invites us to partake of in His Word. But to get saved, there's nothing you can do. Just accept it. Period. Every other religion has a whole big long list of everything you need to do in order to qualify and get over the finish line. Period. Do you believe in Him? Are you saved? How easy does he make it? Number four. Salvation's consequences. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's crazy. Perish. The word perish means to destroy fully, to ruin. It means death. It means punishment. He says, you will not receive punishment. You will not die eternally. You will not be ruined. You will not. If you accept me, this will not happen to you. Instead, you'll have everlasting life. That word everlasting means perpetual, never ending, live forever. Remember Ponce de Leon? Over here, you should be going, yes, I remember him. Nobody remembers him. Anybody over here remember Ponce de Leon? Wow, it seems like old school is better than new school. What was Ponce de Leon looking for? Oh, now they chime up. Yeah. Just, they were Googling that time right there. They're fast. The fountain of youth. How can I live forever? How can I be young forever? He was looking for it. And you know who has it? Jesus in the palm of his hands. Want to live forever? Come to me. Are you heavy laden? Having a tough time? Life not going well? Come to me. Life difficult? Going through bad relationships? Is sin killing you? Is it hurting you? Come to me. 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 Oh no, I'm going to get my life right and then come to you. No. Come to me in all of your junk and all of your garbage and all of your filth. I love it because I'm going to exchange all of my righteousness for it. I don't understand him. Yeah. I don't either. Then I love this in verse 17. I love this part. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus didn't come to condemn you, but he came to save you. The word saved, sozo, it means to deliver or protect, to heal, preserve, to make whole. I love this part about make whole. I need a couple of volunteers out there. Madison, can you come up and help me too? And then I need, could you mind coming up, Madison? Would you come up, Madison? Madison, come here. I need someone to help me bring this down here. Bring it down on the bottom. Can I get somebody to bring that down? Madison, come here. I need you to draw yourself on that egg. Just what you look like. All right, draw yourself on the egg there, your eyes, your nose, and all that. And I need two more people. I need someone from over here. Do we have anybody new here? Somebody that's newer. New or newer? New or newer? All right, come on up. Come on up. Grab that one there. And then I need you to give him a pin. Give him a pin. And then I need another person. Who wants to draw their face on an egg? I'll give you $100. No, I'm not going to give you $100. Come on up. All right, there we go. We got another egg person. All right, there you go. Grab that one. All right, now you need to draw yourself on there. Draw yourself on there. Okay. Make it look good. Oh, yeah. Look at that. What are those? Look at that. Are you an artist? My gosh. Are you single? Let me see that. Okay, now, wow. Isn't that pretty? That's a nice, look at that. She's a good old egg. Look at that, nice. All right, what do you guys got? All right, oh, another nice one. Simple, but nice. Look at that, nice. Nice, nice. Then we've got, yes, we have another. We have a situation here. We have a situation. Now, here's what I want to say. Here we are, and this is us. This is at least you three guys. Here you are right here. And the world seems to toss us all over the place, doesn't it? I mean, don't you feel like sometimes the world is just juggling? Oh, jeez. Just about lost you, Addison. And then, what was your name again?
Rodrigo.
Tegan, all right. So let me try this one more time. Let me see if I can get it here. Okay. Oop. we kind of, you guys hit each other. I don't know who swung first. I don't know, but someone has a little collateral damage. Okay. What I want to say is the world does amazing things to us. And sometimes, you know, we've gone through so many things in our life, so much tough stuff. Even at the foundation of the world, when Adam had paradise and then decided to do something that was absolutely stupid, we had this great fall. And when this great fall happened, it broke our world. It broke our world. And you know, all of us, no matter how good we think we are, we're all broken. We're all, here, catch that. Oh, gee, oh, good. Thank you. Good job. Oh, gee. You're the only one left here. You got dropped. Sometimes that's what happens. The world just drops you, man. I don't know, just, can you protect her?
No.
Oh, no. Even the world lets you down. I'm saying this, that we're all broken. We're all broken. Give them a hand. Give them a hand, everybody. Give them some stuff with them. We are all broken. We have a world that has broken us, and we are all broken. Everybody in this room today is broken. There are problems. There are issues. He said he came to save you, to make you whole. But we're broken. I think of, let me get me here. I drew a picture of me ahead of time. This is me. Not too good, but anyway, that's me. I'm in the same way in this broken life. We're all busted. And you know what? Somebody at some point, at some time, is going to drop us. Now I had a little more problem than them. Stuff is oozing out of me. Okay, I got stuff oozing out. Just a second, I'm trying to put some of this back in me. Okay, whoops. Here, can you help me? Just put that down. Can you help me? We don't need this on camera. I need to get back in here. Okay. I am your leader, and I'm oozing out, okay? You're following this. You are following a broken person. Because we're all broken. You've all been hurt by relationships. You've all been hurt by something. You've all been, in some cases, abused by someone, hurt by someone, damaged by somebody. This world has not been nice to us. But what did Jesus say? He said, I came to save you. Sozo, to make you whole again. Now, what I wish I could do, I wish I could do something to make these all come back together again, but I can't. As a matter of fact, here we all are, and we're all. We're all broken. We're all in the same club. I'm in the club of the broken. I wish I could put you back together. I wish I could put you back together, but I can't. But there is one who can. Because only God can make you whole.
Amen.
Only God can make you whole. And I understand that we're all broken, that we're all hurting, that we all have issues. To fix that brokenness is not going to come by being more popular. To fix that brokenness is not going to come by making more money. To fix that brokenness is not going to be this awesome relationship you're going to have with this guy or girl. To fix that brokenness isn't being the 4-point student up there. You can't fix brokenness. It can only be healed by the one who made you. God himself. My part is to tell you about how he's healed you, what he has done for you. And the main thing he's done for you is that he sent you his son to heal your brokenness. to make you whole. I think it goes without saying that there is a force that's against you out there today. There's a real devil. He is trying to destroy you. He is trying to not only break you, but he's trying to scramble you. He's trying to fry you. He's trying to eat you. And I think sometimes we have a big problem because we don't take the devil seriously. We don't take all of his antics, all of the stuff that he's doing. We don't see it. We're sleeping to it. We have this, oh, I can change later. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. Oh, it's not that big of a sin. Oh, it's not that. We have all of these excuses and God is going, you know what? All of those things are going to tear you down and tear you down and tear you down and bust you apart. I have come. Jesus said to bring you life, to heal you, to heal you. God has a strategic plan for your life. The devil has a strategic plan for your death. He said in there that he didn't come to condemn you. I want to talk about this for a moment. The word condemn means to condemn, to punish, to judge a person to be guilty and liable to punishment. The word condemn in the dictionary means express complete disapproval or typically in public to censure. It means to sentence someone a particular punishment, especially death. You see, we don't have a God in heaven who's pointing his finger at you, pointing out all the things you did wrong. He's not pointing at you. He's not laughing at you. He's not aghast by you. He's not blaming all of everything on you. He's not pointing at you. He's not trying to rub your nose in all the things you've done. He's not condemning you. He's saving you. He's saving you. Jesus did not come to judge and punish. He came to save you. To save you. Why? Because he loves you. That agape love found in 1 Corinthians is from God. It's a love that comes from God. It's irrational. It's unmerited. It's unconditional. And it's lavishly dispensed upon you. Jesus doesn't just erase what you did. He doesn't just go, no big deal. You see, he's not condemning you or making you pay for it. He's forgiving you of it. However, Jesus did not excuse sin. He pays for it. What did it cost him going to the cross at Calvary? I just think it's amazing what God has done for us. What he's done for us. God uses love to entice a sinner to come home. To entice the prodigal to come back. Come on back. It's okay. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you've done it. Come on back. Come on back. The devil uses condemnation to keep you away from home. He'll condemn you. Are you sure you did that again and again and again? God uses love. The enemy uses condemnation. Now, there's a difference between condemnation and conviction, though. Condemnation is from the devil. It's a shotgun approach. You are just horrible. Looking at problems and sin of your life to tell you how horrible you are. The end game is to make you feel hopeless and to give up. God uses conviction. It's like a laser approach. It's like I lost my laser. How did I lose it? It's a laser approach. He's just pointing one thing out. He's putting a laser on one thing and saying, let's deal with this. I want to change this in your life. And the whole idea is you're looking at the problems of sin of your life to show you how you can change. The end game is to make you feel hopeful and to grow up. I love it when the lady that was caught in adultery, it's in John 8, 10 through 11. Caught in the very act of adultery. Can you imagine? She's drugged before everybody. Caught in the very act. Drugged before everybody. Can you imagine how embarrassed she would be in front of the crowd? Can you imagine if we found a person caught in some sort of sin and we drug him in front of everybody right here? Can you imagine the embarrassment that the person would feel? Embarrassed. Ashamed. Broken, right? Because we're all broken. We're all broken. We're all going through something. There's some issue. There's some problem. There's some dynamic that's happening in your life today. That God says, I know. I'm here for you. I came to save you. I came to make you whole. I came to put the pieces back together. Jesus masterfully says, you without sin cast the first stone, and everybody leaves because they're all guilty. We're all guilty. And then he says this. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Notice what he says. Has no one condemned you? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. But he gives us a bit of instruction. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Here this lady with her life is broken. It's falling apart. Who knows what situation she's in to try to have a relationship or whatever she's doing to try to make some wholeness of her life. And yet she's doing things she shouldn't do. She gets caught doing things she shouldn't do. She stands before the Lord ashamed and embarrassed. You can imagine she's just looking down. She's not looking at anybody. She's just embarrassed. And instead, like the rest of the crowd, it's amazing in our society how the rest of the crowd loves to pick people apart. Once we're broken, it's like people are just picking us apart, 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 trying to make sure we are just fully filleted out there. Just picking us apart. But the amazing thing that Jesus did at that moment, that broken lady, he started to put her back together. He started giving her reason and purpose and design and confidence. I don't condemn you either. I don't condemn you either. I don't condemn you either. We are all a dozen of brokenness to different degrees. Some of these guys are a little harder on the inside. They don't show it as much. Some a little softer on the inside. They may show the brokenness a little bit more. But everyone in here is broken. And Jesus says, I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. I don't condemn you. I came to save you, to make you whole again. Now you may have some scars. Sure, you're going to have scars. But he came to make us whole. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think I'm just going to end right there. I had a couple other points I want to end right here. I said that Jesus came to make us whole. He came to save us. He is coming again. And when he comes the next time, he is coming to judge. He is coming to see what we did with what he told us. There will be a different time. He will come to reward those who have been faithful. But we have an opportunity right now before the Lord to just let it go. Father, I pray for us, Lord. I'm so thankful that Jesus is salvation. Because, Lord, I was that kid broken. Broken by an alcoholic father. Broken by all the things I wish would have happened and never did. I was that kid looking for popularity or looking for an out or looking for something of importance. I was that kid blinded by the things of the world and going down the slide and doing so many things I shouldn't have done. But Lord, instead of condemning me, You reached out Your hand into my life and saved me. Friends gathered around me and helped me grow. Father, we are all broken. We are all broken. We're all broken. And we need You, Lord, in our life. We need a Savior to put the pieces, the fragile pieces of our life back together. But Lord, that's what You specialize in. You specialize in taking broken things and putting them back together in such a way that the result of their brokenness makes them better than if they weren't. You use every broken piece that's been placed back to help somebody else. You're incredible, Lord. Help us. Help us. Help us. Help us, Lord. To walk whole. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, I'm just thinking. Holy Spirit, I just pray. Holy Spirit, I ask that You just move on us. I'm so thankful that we have a God in heaven who knows exactly how we feel because You were here. You came down here. You know what it feels like to battle temptation. You know what it feels like to battle sin. And the Scripture says that You sympathize with us. You sympathize with us. You understand the battle. You understand the plight. And You don't condemn us. You sympathize with us. And You are tempted in every way just like us. You are tempted in popularity. You are tempted with money. If you are tempted at all points, as the Scripture says, you are tempted with sex. You are tempted every way, just like us. But You never gave in. And the Scripture says that You can help us in this time. Because You know what it feels like. So Father, I pray as we're walking our day this week, we go through the things that have busted us up, that You would sympathize with us and help us walk the way You want us to walk. And we ask this all in the name and in the power of our awesome Savior, Jesus Christ. And with that, everybody said, amen. Amen. I think the thing that we have, some guys are going to close here. We have an altar call. the thing I want to say is that I always feel very awed by the fact you come back on a Sunday. And listen, I'm in the same boat with you. I'm that broken person. We're in this together. But there's an amazing God in heaven who loves us so much that He wants to transform our life in amazing ways. Let's keep growing. Amen.